Our Father, as we open up your word, we do ask you in Jesus' name to let the Spirit of God loosen our hearts and lives. Pray that you would speak to us and that you would challenge us and that we would respond to you. We pray in your name. Amen. This morning, as we have communion before us, we're going to look at some important events that will teach us some things that we need to remember to apply to our lives each and every day. God's word is relevant and applicable to each of our lives each day through the circumstances or whatever we go through so that we can live in victory. That's God's desire for us, that we live in victory. He doesn't want to see us defeated. He doesn't want to see us running around with our heads down. He doesn't want to see us running around burdened with the cares of life. He wants to see us with victory. We're going to encounter a guy this morning. The Bible doesn't tell us his name, so we're going to call him Fred. And that's a good biblical name, Fred. We meet Fred as Jesus is setting out on a journey to minister, to make his way to Jerusalem. He's setting his sights on Jerusalem. He realizes the end of his ministry, the end of his life, his sacrifice is coming. And so he needs to make his way to Jerusalem because the crucifixion is drawing near. So if you have your Bibles, have them open to Mark chapter 10, starting there at verse 17. And this is where we see Fred come on the scene. I'm just going to paraphrase these verses because I just read them in a scripture reading. But as he's moving along, as he's setting out for Jerusalem, as he's traveling along, this guy comes running up to him and hollers out to him, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to get eternal life?" And that's where Jesus responds to him and makes that statement, "What are you calling me good for?" And we may be thinking, well, if anybody's good, it's Jesus, isn't it? Well, we're going to see what the problem is with that statement in just a moment. But we have a situation here that was important enough that all three Gospels, and when the three Gospels are together, they're called Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels, all the writers include this event of the rich young ruler. And there are a number of things for us to learn from this encounter with Fred that'll help us to avoid the problem and the problems that he ran into in life. First of all, we see that Fred is very enthusiastic. And that is a quality that more Christians ought to have and daily be enthusiastic in their lives. We ought to be, as Christians, the most enthusiastic people on the planet. Why? Well, we're family with the King of Kings. I mean, we're children of the King. We're saved by grace. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit for daily living. We have the Word of God to feed us and to educate us, to give us direction, to gain answers for all of life's problems. So why should we be glum? Why should we be down and out as Christians? And so many are. We need some enthusiasm like Fred had. He wanted to know what he could do to have eternal life. But as with everything, we need to live our lives in balance. Because there's some people that are so on the emotional roller coaster that if they're not getting themselves pumped up somewhere about Jesus, they just can't live the Christian life and they don't know what to do about it. So there needs to be a balance. There's a danger on running on our emotions, always needing the next fix of Jesus, the next hype. And so they bounce around from meeting to meeting, place to place, trying to get pumped up. And that isn't what God wants either. He wants us to just enjoy Him and realize that in that alone, in our daily quiet time, in our church experiences, in our fellowship with Him during the week, is what we need to keep us on an enthusiastic plane. So we find Fred here running up to Jesus and addressing Him as good teacher. That was probably something that we might do. But Jesus knew that there was a problem here with this statement of Him being called good teacher. Well, what could be wrong with that? Well, Fred has every good intention, even to the point where we see him doing what a lot of people don't and what we see a lot of people not even doing today, is he even knelt before Jesus. He knelt there. He bowed down before Jesus. And that's more than most have done in coming to him. Read through the Gospels, and you hardly see people coming and kneeling before him. And yet he recognized the quality of who Christ was. Well, Jesus' response in verse 18 may seem strange to us, but there's a good reason for it. Look at verse 18. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Jesus senses Fred's good intention here, but a superficial idea of what goodness is, as Jesus is about to demonstrate. Fred's got good intentions, but he has a wrong concept in his head of what good is. And that's where the problem lies. He doesn't understand really what he's saying. Fred was a good Jew. And to him, and in his mind, the outward keeping of the law, the outward keeping of the commandments, are what constituted goodness. So when Fred's thinking goodness, he's thinking, I'm keeping the law, I'm doing all this stuff. And that's what he associated with good. Ask Fred what goodness was. And if he were to answer you, he'd say that. Well, I'm keeping the law. I'm obeying the commandments. I'm doing all this stuff. And so when he comes up and calls Jesus good, there's a problem there, because this is what Fred's thinking about when he's thinking good. Law keeper, obeyer, and those types of things. He had no idea of what a heart in tune with God is all about. Do you? Do you know what a heart in tune with God is all about? Do you understand fully what it means to have your heart in tune with God every moment of the day and to live like that? You see, many today still have a wrong idea what it is to have their heart in tune with God. And as a result, we see it in their lives. They say one thing with their mouth, but their life is living something else. And they make excuses. Well, this happened and this situation came up, so I wasn't able to do this. Heart in tune with God doesn't allow those things to get in the way. Situations do rise, but they adjust to them. Things do come up, but they adjust biblically to them. And they don't allow those things to throw their lives out of whack. So what Jesus is saying to Fred is this. Unless you change your view of goodness to address me according to the kind of goodness that's in God himself, don't use that title for me. Don't call me good. Because Fred's concept of good was not God's concept of good. And Jesus was not willing to take that concept of what Fred had as far as good and apply it to himself. Jesus is saying here, I'll not accept the proposition that I am good in the sense that you are thinking of good. Don't use that title for me. To explain this, Jesus mentions some of the commandments. Look at verse 19. He says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. You notice what Jesus is saying here? He says the key here is the response to understanding where Fred's heart is. And it's found in that question of verse 17. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That little word do is a key word here. Doing was a big thing for religious Jews. Doing is still a focal point of a lot of people. A lot of people. You go up and ask somebody on the street, think if you died, you'd go to heaven right now? Oh, yeah, I'd go to heaven right now. Why? Because I'm a good person. Really? I do good things. I do good deeds. I don't do certain things, and I do other things, therefore God ought to let me into heaven. People think that because they do those things, that they ought to go to heaven. But the problem is, they're wrong. And they're basing their eternity on something that they think might work. So here in verse 19, Jesus lists some commands. But notice the kind of commands that he lists. Notice one of those 10 commandments that he lists. He's listing those that apply to our relationship and our duty with our fellow man. Those are the ones that he lists, not the ones that deal with our relationship and our duty to God. And so he had a reason in doing that with Fred. If Jesus can get Fred to see his need and his inadequacy on this lower level of people to people, then there's a good chance that he's going to see his need of Christ. He's a good chance he's going to see his need that in order to do the things that deal between me and God, the higher level, I need to change. I need to change. Communion reminds us of the need for change in our lives and the change that needs to take place. The same truth applies to each of us this morning. Fred was works-oriented. And even though we know that works are a part of the Christian life, but they come second. They come after you've asked Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, because works do not impress God. You see, if you're just planning on works, God's not impressed. He's impressed with what Christ did. He's in Christ. He's impressed with our obedience to Jesus and asking him to be Lord of our lives. So after hearing what Jesus said, Fred responds in the next verse, in verse 20, he says, well, teacher, he says, I've kept all these things from my youth up. You know, I've done that stuff. I've been faithful to those commands. And in verse 20, he makes that statement. It sounds very noble, doesn't it? Matter of fact, a lot of people would say, well, man, Fred's probably already a Christian. But was he? How many times do you hear people say things? Oh, they must be a Christian because they said something about God. Well, we know in this day and age, they could be talking about any number of gods that they've created or that they've adopted or something else. It doesn't make a person a Christian. He knew the commands and he kept them. So he must be a Christian, right? Not necessarily. We're often fooled in life because we're not discerning, nor do we look at the right issues. It's all about our walk, not about our talk. We can talk a good line of Christianity, and our walk can absolutely stink. Our walk needs to be in line with what we say. Our walk needs to be in line with what God's Word says. Our walk needs to be demonstrating that I believe what I say, and I'm doing what I've been told to do after the fact of accepting Christ as my Savior. You see, Jesus, on the other hand, saw the real problem. He saw the need in Fred's life. And just like this morning, he's looking into your heart. The Holy Spirit sees every one of your hearts this morning, and he's looking in there right now as we sit here and as we are hearing this message and as whatever you're thinking about. If you're not thinking about what was being said, then he's seeing that. If you're thinking about what's being said and say, well, that's great for somebody else in my row, but not me, he sees that. Or he sees you thinking, you know what, this is something I need to take to heart myself. This is something I need to apply to me. He knows what needs to change in our lives, and he wants to be able to touch that area if you allow him and if you open your heart to him. This is why daily you need to be open and honest with the Lord in your quiet time. When you get alone with him, you need to be honest with him. You need to be open so that he can help you see the issues that you need to be working on and let him change. He's more than willing to say, let's work on this one today. And then as you conquer that one, and then you can go on to the next one, you say, well, let's work on this one, and then let's work on this one, and let's work on this one. There's always something in our lives that he wants to work on because there's always room for improvement, isn't there? There's always room for more love for Christ. There's always room for more devotion to him. There's always room for more. If you don't think so, you're going to spend eternity growing. Don't just think you're going to be sitting around on a cloud in heaven with a harp and singing songs all day long for eternity. You're going to be doing stuff that's going to cause you to grow, and God's going to cause you to stretch, and he's going to open up your understanding, and he's going to open up your mind, and he's going to open up your heart. You see, we'll go all eternity and still never exhaust understanding God because we're not God. There's going to be dimensions of him and his love and his greatness and his awesomeness. We're going to continually be learning all throughout eternity. So you might as well get in line right now and start learning and opening up your heart and being honest. You see, Jesus looks at Fred and he sees potential. He looks at you this morning and he sees potential in every one of your lives. He knows that if you will let go and totally let him be Lord, you will accomplish much more in life for him. And you might be thinking right now, well, I made him Lord of my life. Oh, really? Is that just talk? Or is it action? Is it something that you're going to do? Or is it just something you say? You see, life happens to all of us. And we all seem to get wrapped up in ourselves. We get wrapped up in our world. We get wrapped up with my trials, my problems, because we're not looking to him daily. We get looking at the schedule that people try and make for us and say, well, oh, I can't serve the Lord here. Or I can't go to church today because so-and-so's at my house or somebody's going to come. And I can't do those things because of that. You know what? Who's Lord of your life? Who's Lord of your life? I can remember times we get people come and visit us on Sunday. They come for dinner and they come for church. And then we say, well, you know what? It's time for church tonight. You're more than welcome to join us, or we'll leave the house open, you can stay here, and if you're here when we get back, we'll visit. That was just a thing. Who's Lord of our lives? Who's dictating what's going on? You see, you say, well, that's a simple, goofy thing. No, it's not. It's one of those little things that help us to understand, who's really Lord of my life? Who's really Lord here? Is it the situations? Because I'm so wrapped up in life, so wrapped up in myself, that what's going on? Well, that's where Fred was. Look at verse 21. And looking at him, Jesus felt love for him, and he said to him, "One thing you lack, Fred. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." Jesus sees the attitude in Fred. Jesus knows his attitude, and he felt a love for him. He saw the potential. He says, "Man, I know what Fred can be." He looks at you and he says, "I know what you can be for me if you let me be Lord." The word that he uses for love here means to have that love for someone based on a sincere appreciation and a high regard for. Jesus saw the potential in Fred, and he knew Fred needed to get beyond surface commitment. Surface commitment. So many Christians have it. Surface commitment. Beyond the surface relationship with God. Get to the heart of the issue. What is that? Him being Lord of your life. Lordship. That's the issue. Is he Lord? Is he Lord in your life? Is he really the Lord? Or is it just a title? Fred needs Jesus Christ as Lord of his life. There's an issue in the heart here that Fred needs to deal with. And well, Fred's issue is? Fred's issue is money. Ooh, money. We all want money. We all need money. Well, Fred had a lot of it. And what Jesus is saying here, the issue in your life, Fred, is money. Money isn't bad, and money isn't wrong. The Bible says it's the love of money that causes a problem. Money or anything else becomes wrong when it takes the place of Christ in your life. Most would say that it doesn't, but check their lifestyle out. Check out their checkbook. Check out their surface commitment to Christ and to his church. They all say something different. What if Jesus were to say to you, and he would call you by name this morning, put your name in there, "Hey, you know, Glenn, Randy, Brian, Jack, Chris," and I'm not picking on anybody, "go and sell everything you've got, give it away to the poor." What would your response be? "That's not fair. Why would he do that to me?" The question Jesus may ask you may be different, because money may not be the issue, but something else in your life may be the issue, and so you know what it is. And he would point that out to you. Maybe social standing, other possessions, certain people, certain types of things that Jesus needs to put his finger on in your life and say, "Unless you get these things in order, you'll not have treasure in heaven. And it's a sure evidence that I am not Lord of your life." It may be that if Fred would have said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it. My money, my property mean nothing to me. I'll do anything you say. As soon as I'm done talking with you, I'm going to the real estate office." Jesus might have said, "Good. Fred, hold on. You don't need to do that. I really see where your heart is now." All right, I should say, you see where your heart is now, Fred. You were willing to do that. You see, it's just like Abraham. God told Abraham to do something with his son. He says, "Take and sacrifice him." And Abraham didn't hesitate, but he went to carry it out. God knew he would have done it. And so just before the act, God says, "Okay, I know. Now you know where your heart is." And so he didn't make him do it. But Fred needed to be ready either way, to get rid of it all or to be able to hear Jesus say, "Now I know and you can keep it all." It doesn't matter. He needed to be ready and he wasn't willing. Key factor for us today, like Fred's, is that we need to make sure that we do what he says. We want to do something in order to get something. And Jesus said it's the issue of the heart. We can't do a thing for our salvation except accept it, accept what Christ has done. And that's what communion reminds us of, the great sacrifice of Christ. You see, some people say, "Well, I can't, you know, they're making bad choices. I have to give up too much to make you Lord of my life. I mean, look at what I might have to do. I might have to uncomfortably get up and do something for Jesus. I might have to uncomfortably get out of my house, my nice warm house, and go out and do something for Jesus." Well, sometimes we forget. Fred didn't read it, and I need to skip ahead here because of time. Fred didn't read verses 32, 33, and 34. And sometimes we forget to as well. And as they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, Jesus was walking on ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he'll rise again." Jesus could have said, "Father, it's too much to ask. Not doing it. These people aren't worth it." But he went and he obeyed. He didn't say that. We celebrate this morning communion. You celebrate communion, you're celebrating the fact that he should be Lord of your life. Is there anything greater that he's asking you to give up than what he's already done for us and what he's already giving to us? We should be willing, without any hesitation, to say, "Lord, whatever you want, you're Lord of my life. I'm going to commit it to you." Sadly, Fred went away sorrowful. And he wanted eternal life, but he was wanting to do something to get it. And Jesus said, "You can't do a thing except accept." He wasn't willing to take the cost. So he didn't do it God's way. You have to ask yourself, am I willing to take the cost? Am I willing to give myself and take Lord, have him be Lord of every area of my life? We need to ask ourselves that question because we face today what Jesus did. We experience today what Jesus allows us to experience because of what he's done for us, because of the love that he showed to us, because of the compassion he has for us. He gave to us this opportunity to receive these elements of communion this morning because it's something that encourages us to remember that he is to be Lord of every area of my life, and I need to demonstrate that. And so think about it this morning as you get ready to take communion. Is he Lord of every area of your life? Are you setting an example to others so that they can see, hey, he's really Lord of their life because look at, they're willing to do this and this and this and they're doing these things for Christ because he's Lord of their life. Maybe set an example and they'll follow along. And they'll get on the same boat and say, you know what, I need to do the same thing. I need to take my stand just like they're taking their stand for Christ. It's a great thing for us to see the great stand that Jesus took for us and to be able to be a part of it. And so this morning, I'm going to ask the elders to come take their spot up here as we get ready to receive these elements of communion. Ask yourself to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and make sure that he's Lord of every area of your life. Because he wants us to be the most enthusiastic people ever. And we can be if we're willing to make him Lord of every area all the time. Not just when it's convenient, because that's not lordship, but all the time. To make him Lord of our lives. Father, we approach these elements of communion this morning with great care, but with joy in our hearts, thanking you from the bottom of our being that you did not quit on us, that you didn't turn your back on us and say the cost is too great, but you went to the cross, you suffered, you died, you rose again, so that we might know eternal life. At the end of this month, we'll celebrate great opportunity of the resurrection for Easter. Lord, as we prepare our hearts now to take these elements of communion, may we be reminded of the great cost, the great love, and what you ask of us so that we make you Lord of every area of our lives. We thank you and ask you to take and consecrate these elements to your use, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.